Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Well, there was a survey that went out several years ago and said, hey, what's the one thing, if you could choose one thing that you could get for Christmas, what in the world would it be? And surprisingly, the answer, most popular across the board, unequivocally, was peace. Peace. I mean, we all search for peace. People want peace in their life. They want peace on their job. They want peace in their marriages. They want peace in their families, peace in their homes, peace in their workplaces. We want peace in our nation. We want peace, and we see that as we're forced into more and more binary dialogues, it's more and more difficult for us to attain peace. World peace is not just a cheesy answer by some pageant contestant, but it is in fact something that we all deeply, deeply long for in our lives. Now, the events of last October in Israel, the horrific atrocities that were carried out by the expression of ideologies of hate carried out on civilians, on women and children, it has rightly shaken us once again. Not to mention, we can go all the way across the globe, the continuing things that happen with the human trafficking, and we can go on and on, violence and oppressions, how so many ideas are fostered in institutions that we once held in high regard, that we in a nation, we have some of the very best medical and psychological treatment centers, and we are ridiculously wealthy compared to the rest of the world, and yet we lack the thing that we most want, peace. We try to purchase it. We try to seek for it. We try to look for different ways, and sadly, so much of our response in the pursuit for peace leaves us in fact, lacking. We search for peace through many forms of escapism, of drugs, of alcohol, of immoral relationships, of a desire for constant entertainment. And we find all kinds of different pleasures to try to distract us. Whatever the newest fad is, whether it be positive thinking or some other mantra or some other form of narcissism. And what we have learned is, actually, I'm just going to jump right to my very first scripture today. Escapism is not peace. So we're talking about peace, and we're talking about Christ, and we're talking about Advent. The bottom line that we have to understand is Christ represents something for us that is quintessential to the essence of the human longing. We try so many times efforts to seek peace, just try to numb ourselves or distract ourselves. But I want you to know that numbing or distraction are not solutions. Wrongly, many people believe that peace is defined as an absence of trouble. And you can choose to have true peace, but true peace doesn't come from man. True peace does not have its origin within our ability to acquire in and of ourselves. So peace is not the absence. Isaiah 48:22, let me read this to you. It says, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. So wickedness, and what we learn to what scripture defines as righteousness and as wickedness, and rejecting God's laws and rejecting God's precepts and God's ways is not, in fact, an avenue to peace. And so peace is not the absence of trouble. So if peace is not the absence of trouble, if we don't find peace by running away from our problems, by trying to avoid our stressors or our anxiety, how in the world do we find peace? Peace is the presence of Jesus. And that's what I want to talk to you here today. In fact, if we look, we can jump ahead to the New Testament, to the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 14. Let's all read this verse together, church. Ready? But now, in Christ Jesus, You who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. I like how this begins. But now in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. The things that we need to focus on are not things to distract us or to numb us from the issues of the world, not to remove fear, but literally it's the presence of Jesus because he himself is our peace. So last week we talked about what it means to actively wait. This whole season of Advent is a time of waiting. It's a time of preparation. It's a time of expectation. We are waiting in a relationship with God, not for a relationship with God, but in a relationship with God. And I left you off with the challenge that we were to know God, to have relationship with God in the midst of our waiting. And I want to tell you that the relationship with God is what in fact sustains us. And it is in fact what offers to us the ability to experience true peace in the waiting, because I'm going to tell you, in the waiting, there will be trouble. Anybody had trouble this Christmas season? In the waiting, you're going to have tribulation. In the waiting, you're going to have trials. As you've heard me say umpteen times, that we are promised one thing. In this world, you will have tribulation. Those are the words of Jesus. Those are red letter in your Bible. Jesus said, you are going to have tribulation in this world. But then he said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Let me take you back to where we left off last week, and I can show it to you in the Christmas story. We left off with Luke chapter 2, with a forgotten or an overlooked character in the Christmas story named Simeon. So Luke chapter 2, verse 21 through 35. At the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, talking about Jesus, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Remember that the angel came to Joseph and told him to not be afraid, that he should take Mary as his wife, and that he was going to be born, and he was going to be the Savior of the world, and to call his name Jesus. Verse 22 said, and then the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses. They brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Okay, so there was a time of purification that Mary and Joseph were taking Jesus. They were following and fulfilling the law. Let's go on to verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was, what was he, gang? 2 things. He was righteous and devout. And what was he doing? Waiting for the consolation of Israel and for the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. So God's Spirit was upon him. He's waiting for a consolation. When do you need consoled? When do you need consolation? When you're in trouble. You know? When you lack peace, I mean, they call consolation, like a consolation bracket. Okay, maybe your heart's broken, but here, we're going to console you with something else. Okay? So we have consolation here, which is comfort. This refers to the prophet Isaiah, who said, comfort ye, it's a reference to the Messiah. This is verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, well, hang on just a second. So those of you who have a newborn baby, I know like here we usually just, you know, try to stay home for a little while, but you don't really want a bunch of people just walking up and grabbing your newborn, right? I kind of get the idea that Mary and Joseph were used to things being a little out of the ordinary, don't you? I mean, they've had a whole weird string of house guests. They've had all kinds of crazy things that have happened. They've got angels showing up. They got shepherds. They got wise men. Myrrh, frankincense? I don't know. You know, ironically, they were kind of foretelling of Jesus' ministry and Jesus' death would be, but they're used to things out of the ordinary. And now, one of these things, now we see that Simeon comes and he takes this child. This random guy takes this baby. And look at what he says in Luke 2, chapter 2, verse 29. He says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in what, gang? According to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation." Look, he was living rightly. He was devout. And I want to be careful how I say this. You can live rightly without, I mean, you can do, can an evil person do good things? Yeah. Can you, what I want to point out today is you can do good things and still miss peace. You can make the right choices and miss peace. Here's how you find peace. You encounter Jesus. Jesus is what brings us peace. A connection with Jesus. I would dare say a relationship. I like verse 30. It says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." Now I want you to think about. So here is Simeon. Okay, he's advanced in years and he's living in Rome. At the moment that he saw Jesus, did Rome suddenly, poof, disappear? No, Rome was still an occupying force in Jerusalem. He was still being occupied. He still had an oppressive force in his life, and yet now he has peace. In other words, you're telling me, preacher, that I can have peace when life isn't perfect? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm telling you. I'm telling you exactly that. I'm telling you that we can have, here's my next point. Because of Jesus, we can have perfect peace in an imperfect world. Well, we know that we have an imperfect world, so how in the world can we have perfect peace? This is the beauty. This is such a wonderful thing. Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 7 says, "The Lord is at hand," okay? The Lord is at hand. So when the Lord's at hand, do not be anxious about anything. We like to take verse 6 and forget the end of verse 5 that leads into us. We all say, "Oh, do not be anxious." Here's a misquoting of Ephesians that I see happen all the time. People say, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." A wrong reading of that says, if I pray hard enough, and if I by will, I choose to not be anxious, and I supplicate and I give thanksgiving, I will experience peace. No, you're going to experience peace because of who you're with, who you're talking to. The Lord is at hand. Look, the Lord is at hand. Look, do not be anxious about anything. Why? Because the Lord's at hand. But in everything by prayer. Now, I think it's very interesting here. The beauty of this verse is we can talk to God in times of trouble. Ironically, a lot of people, that's like the only time they talk to God. Life throws you a curveball, and when life throws you a curveball, then you run to God. Okay? And then the curveball, the catcher catches it, and you're there, and then it goes back to the pitcher, and then we don't talk to him again until another curveball comes. Sound familiar? Sound familiar? Look, it's one of those things to know that Christ didn't come so that we can have encounters. Christ didn't come so we can see him once a year or once a month or even once a week. Christ came that we can walk in relationship with him every day. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. Now, there's something else wonderful here. Prayer, it says prayer and supplication. Let me just pop a few more bubbles here. Some of you, that's the only prayer that you have is supplication. If your prayer is only asking God for things, you haven't learned relational prayer. And that might be a good goal for you in 2024. To say, "God, I want to learn how to talk to you. I want to learn how to talk with you instead of talking at you. I want to learn how to converse with you, how to pray, how to communicate with you beyond just gimme, 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 gimme." Because you know what? I get tired of the gimme, gimme, gimme people, right? I get tired of having some of them in my life, but you know what? We tolerate and we try to get them to mature. That's the difference of coming to maturity. This is not that God doesn't want to talk to you about your list. He wants to talk to you about your relationship. And trust me, when you get your relationship going, the list begins to take care of itself. Do we bring our requests to God? Yes, we do. But that's not all we should do. Prayer is a relationship. This is how we come to the Father. That's why we say, have you ever wondered why when we get to the end of our prayer, we end it in Jesus' name? Okay, I get it. We don't want to make it formulaic. It's not a magic thing. It's not a magic word. It's not a mantra. It's nothing like this. It's a reminder of how we come to God. We come to God not in our own righteousness, but because of the blood of Jesus. It is only because of the blood of Jesus that we have access confidently to go before a holy, pure, and perfect God when we are imperfect, messed up people. It's a good reminder. So, we don't just, here's what I want you to get. We just don't get peace from Jesus. We get peace in. Everybody say in. We get peace in Jesus. Many of us are wanting peace from Jesus rather than finding peace in. Here's what we find in verse 7. And the peace of God. So when we're doing this thing, when we're having relationship with God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts of mind. Where, gang? In Christ Jesus. So here's the problematic attitude I want to point out that happens all the time, but we see it a lot at Christmas. God, if you get me out of this mess, I promise you'll never hear from me again. That's problematic attitude. Get me out of this mess, God, and I won't bother you again. Your Father in heaven wants you to bug him. Your Father in heaven sent his only begotten Son, born of a virgin, took on human form, perfectly fulfilled the law, not so that you could just have a once a year connection, but that you could walk in relationship with him. You see, here is in the essence of this problematic attitude, we see religious escapism. And are we guilty of religious escapism? God does, gang, God doesn't exist to grant your wishes and fix your problems. That's one of the core theological principles of the Christian faith, okay? Rather, it's an erroneous one. Rather, God gives us a divine purpose to know him and to make him known. And we have this promise that he will never leave us nor forsake us as we remain faithful to him. This is why the first Advent was so powerful. It was such an amazing event. God was letting us know that we can trust him. And that he will fulfill all of his promises. And because we trust him, we have peace. Next point is no Jesus, no peace. No Jesus, no peace. Look at the, let's look at this. The birth of Jesus Christ was heralded by a multitude of angels who carried with them a profound message that Jesus was the Prince of Peace. He was knowable and he was now here. And look what Luke 2:14 says. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace among those with whom he is pleased. So let's just kind of theologically break that down. What does this mean? On earth, peace with those whom he has pleased? Well, how can we please God? I just got to try harder. Is that how we please God? Come on here. I know this is kind of hard stuff. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. The more dependent we are upon Jesus, the more we realize and make room for Jesus, the more we're making room for God. Because he is God. The Trinity is a very, very difficult thing for us to understand here. Okay? So if we know Jesus, we know peace. If we don't have Jesus, we don't have peace. But look at this. The next part is 2 Peter chapter 1, 2. Here's what Peter says. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So here's how we understand. This is not our eternal home. One of the other reasons that we can have peace is this ain't it. This is not it. I'm really sad. There's a part of me that's sad that our dear sister in Christ, one who's been like a mom to me, she's getting ready to move. You know what? It's not that far. You know why she wants us to come to Orange? So we can hang out with her in Atlanta. I know what that was really all about. Yeah. And it's not just that we're a phone call away. It's we're going to spend eternity together. Your best day on earth doesn't even count as the worst day in heaven. I mean, where we are going is a place that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of mankind. How can we have peace when we got real, show enough trouble here on earth? Because we know our Savior and we know the promise of eternity with Him. We know that this is a place of no more death, no more mourning, no more weeping, no more pain. In this world, man, sometimes it's hard. We have pain, we have death, we have suffering, we have sickness, we have troubles, we see oppressions, we see the worst parts of mankind. But this is not it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And you can know Jesus, and you have a glimpse of what's to come. All this is well and good, but what does it look like in my life? You want more peace? I'm saying grow in your relationship with God, and it is a natural thing. This is what learning more about Him through His Word, talking with Him in prayer, supplicating and thanksgiving, experiencing His grace in the midst of the sacraments. This series, as we've said, though, as we get ready to conclude, it is not just a looking back at the first advent. How can the second advent, the return of Jesus, how can that give us peace? And with that, I'm going to invite the choir to start coming on up. My final point is this. Know that Christ is coming back soon. Amen? So, this series is not just about looking back at the first advent. It's looking ahead to the second advent. Excuse me. So when we know Jesus, we know peace. When we have that lack, we have a lack of peace. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 through 24 says this. Let's all read this together if you would join me. May the God of peace, I like how it's just, may the God of peace, ready? May the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. In other words, we are looking ahead to something wonderful. We are looking for the coming of our Lord Jesus, His glorious return. Robert Louis Stevenson tells of a storm that caught a vessel, and it was driving the vessel off this rocky coast. It was driving it towards a rocky shore that threatened to destroy the ship and wreck the passengers, that they would certainly die in the midst of the tumult of the waves. And yet one passenger made their way out against all the instructions that were given. He worked his way up to the steering house. He held on. And he looked inside, and there he saw the pilot of the ship who had lashed himself to the steering wheel of the boat. And as he was trying harder and harder and slowly, slowly pulling the ship away from the shore, he looked over and gave the passenger a smile. At that, the passenger made his way back down under the deck where everyone was freaking out of the storm. He said, I've got good news. I saw the pilot. And he smiled. I want you to know that no matter how chaotic this life gets, in your relationship with Christ, if you just get still, I'm going to tell you, Christ isn't freaked out about the things that freak us out. He knows He has got His hand fastened on the wheel. And even though we may experience waves and turmoil in this life, He is leading us to a safe harbor. And that safe harbor, He is smiling. When you look at Him, He is not anxious. He is a calm presence in the midst of the storm. And with that in mind, the second advent's coming. And He is not worried. He is not concerned. He has it under His control. So we can trust. We can have perfect peace in an imperfect world. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word to us. And may we experience perfect peace, not a temporary peace, not a distraction from peace, but a peace that only comes from knowing you, a peace that passes understanding, a peace that endures forever. That's what we long for. May we experience it in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.